This episode is sponsored by Martin Care.
Welcome back to another episode of the Jewish Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Elon Block. He's an artist whose work is popular on Twitter, has been on the cover of magazines, and might be on your wall. Elon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good to be here.
Thank you for joining. I was curious, when did you get into art? Was it as a kid or was it later?
All right, I'll give you the whole development. I mean, like, I read a lot of comic books as a little kid. It was one of my favorite pastimes. And me and my siblings are always like part of the more like known as sort of like artist type. I spent many years in school just drawing during class. But at that time, I really didn't know what I was good at. I was trying to draw like characters from my brain, and it never really accomplished anything. When I was in yeshiva, I guess my fourth year in yeshiva, I made this like design. I'd have to show it to you. I made this design, and like I went to get framed by in a place for somebody, and the lady was like, "Oh, I want to hang this up in my gallery." That's sort of when I knew I had something. In 2006 to 2007, I got into graphic art. I tried to, you know, reproduce my style on the computer. These are these, like, I don't know if you follow all my work, but the vector art that I sometimes post, it's like made up of like designs instead of like my more recent stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So that, at that point, I taught myself how to use like Adobe software. And I did that for like 2006 to 2007. Ultimately, the venture didn't work out for a number of reasons. And then the next step was 2010. I was in community college post yeshiva, and I took a drawing class and a painting class. And that is when I learned that my real skill is observational, which means that I can, give me any medium, dry medium, wet medium, paint, clay, I could reproduce what I see. So I can only do what I see. Trying to do things from my brain never really works out. And I did that for about, I trained, I guess that was the only formal training I had, was in that period. I did two semesters of art classes, of four classes. Then I went to art school for a little bit. I dropped out very quickly because I didn't like the specific art school I was in. I spent a little bit just honing my observational skills. Then I started from like till about 2015. That's when I made some of my acrylic paintings. And then I was on hiatus for about 5 years. And then this November, I was working with someone. We were working on an e-commerce business, and they needed a they needed a logo. So I started using, and I just remembered how much I missed it, you know, just working on it. And yeah, and that's really where it started. I asked David to post my stuff on, to post my portfolio on Twitter. And then as like a thank you to him, I was doing a little like playing around with Photoshop, and I realized that I could do my style digitally. And like this end of November, and it's been everything since then, basically, till now.
Wow. And do you find that your life experiences tie into your work?
100%. 100%. I'll explain to you why. The most important part of my process is not the quote unquote talent that people, you know, you're so talented. Talent is just a skill that you're born with. Like a little kid is talented. You know, this is more, I would call it a skill that was worked on. And it, a lot, most of it involves dedication and hard work. So I picked up the value of hard work in yeshiva, specifically with Yaakov Friedman's, which was a very focused learning. We had to hustle. We had a hespik at the end of the week. You know, there wasn't time to just sit around and talk. And before I even learned how to paint specifically, I'd worked as a house painter. So I always had this, you know, like you're painting a house, you're painting a room. It's like, you're not there just to paint. You have a very focused goal. You have a very focused goal to get into. and you want to finish the goal, it's like a job. So I approach painting. When I took an art class, I always painted. I always painted with that sort of like, we got to get this composition done, which made me a very quick, relatively quick painter.
That's pretty cool, I guess. And also, I guess the general creative process, how do you find inspiration for your pieces? And do you ever stop in the middle because you decide you don't like something?
Okay, so in terms of the creative process, I like to say there's two denim or two aspects to the creative process, that that there's the creativity, which is not my strong point. If you want like an example, someone that's incredibly creative, Anchi Kagan, he does these such, his ideas are just, shock at how creative. And then the second aspect is technical skill, is the ability to reproduce something, which is no longer required in our society, because we can take photos. We don't need a painting to capture someone's likeness for eternity. And I'll never be I'll never be as good as a printer in terms of, but that's really the technical skill is really my strong point, the ability to draft and recreate things. In terms of inspiration, I love Gedolim, obviously. I've always been inspired to paint them. Even when there's a period of my life where I was irreligious, and I still painted them because I found them so inspiring. It's like just something to look up to.
Wow.
Since I am on Twitter, I do pay attention to, like, I've been, you know, analyzing Twitter for as long as I've been on, and see what, you know, the end goal is ultimately to get as much exposure as possible. So I see what people are excited about, you know, what people are likely to retweet, what big accounts get excited about. And I see things on Twitter. I'm part of this Israel group on Facebook, which is an interesting group, but they're always posting pics of Israel. That's where I get all my, the soldier series of like Jewish soldiers doing religious things. I get them from there. And then it just, I look at something and I'm like, I'm doing that. Sometimes, because even amongst the Gedolim, I'm like, obviously the yard sites has always been a driving factor in the sense, like it's his yard site today. I'm getting this done right now, so I can have it done by today. That's a highly motivating factor, is the yard sites. And just whatever I see that comes across my, thank God I have enough dedicated followers that people have just started tagging me on good ideas. And that saves me a lot of mental time and deciding what to do. People tag me, I look for a second. I'm like, I can do this, it'll look good. And I go from there. In terms of stopping, I have stopped only because I thought it wasn't worth the time investment. It's like, well, you know, like, what am I doing this for? You know, that feeling artists suffer from, like, what's the point? But I have all those pictures I eventually came back to, and some of them have been incredible successes. In general, I try to start a project and finish it before I go to another one. I do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tabs open on Photoshop. I do like to keep multiple projects open just for the hustle. Like, if you think you have just one project to do, it's like, what's the hustle to get it done? If you know you have a list of things to do, it also adds to the focus of getting it done in a timely fashion.
Pretty intense. And I've seen your artwork on the cover of the Mizrahi magazine and on the walls of people's houses. Do you have a favorite piece of artwork and or a favorite opportunity you've had?
It was fun to do the Mizrahi cover, because the Mizrahi cover is fun to do the piece for Jewish Action. The Mishpacha piece, I didn't know ahead of time that it was going to be there, so they just chose something they needed. It wasn't as fun, but the original Mizrahi piece, which wasn't my idea, it was Ellie's idea. He said, we're doing a thing on Jewish music. I want these people. So it was fun having, it was almost like a commission in that sense. In terms of favorite piece of art, it's like, do you have a favorite child? It's really hard to say which one is my favorite. I could tell you the ones that I feel the most accomplishment of, the most accomplished pictures would obviously be the Kotel, one of the Kotel pictures, and the picture of Svas, because those were like 12, 15 hour projects.
Whoa.
So there's obviously my own artistic accomplishment is factored in regardless of what other people think, and regardless of it pays off. There's also, as artists, you have your own sense of accomplishment that you're chasing, regardless of what anyone else ever thinks. So those would be the ones that I worked the longest and the hardest on.
Wow. And on some previous episodes, some of the singers or other guests have mentioned that certain things, I guess you mentioned accomplishment in terms of time, but certain moments make them feel the proudest. I've seen by Ari Leibovitz from YU post that he has a picture of yours hanging on the wall, and we mentioned some of the magazines that put yours in. Was there ever a moment where you saw your artwork somewhere else or finished a specific piece and you felt like, wow, this is really next level, or this is an amazing thing?
Well, obviously when Rabbi Leibovitz contacted me for the painting, that was a big moment, I'm not gonna lie. Every time someone posts on Twitter when they take the picture of it mounted, because I've never actually seen any of my recent stuff in person.
Wow.
I don't have space. I still have like 20 of my old acrylic, no, maybe 30, 40 acrylic paintings in my house. I really don't have the room. So I've never actually seen them in person. The closest I've seen is when people have them hanging up in their house and they post them on Twitter. That's a great feeling, because at the end of the day, it's not so much about the money. The money at the end of the day is more of a justification for my time. It's more of a like deals with the fact of the like, why should I do this? What's the point? Struggle. But what I really want is I want them hanging in people's houses, and I want people to derive benefit from them, and the recognition that's involved as well is a factor. Like I said, I was pushing the limit in the very beginning, as to used to spend like an hour, 2 hours max on a painting. I was going for Bikias, not Bian. And then slowly, the first one I pushed the limit on ever was Rav Schachter at he's sitting there with the Mishnah Berura, and he's surrounded by a bunch of Talmidim. I'm forgetting which yeshiva was in. But that was the first time I did like spend 4 hours. The next big leap was obviously the 770, which is one of my proudest accomplishments. That was like 8 to 10 hours. It derived learning new technique. I had to learn new techniques. If you put your hand on a mouse and you try to go horizontal, you'll see it's a lot harder to go side to side than to do a diagonal slash. So I had to train myself to do horizontal for the brickwork. That was like really, that was the first really big one, followed by the Kotel at night, which was even longer. Obviously the Kotel in general is very hard, because the Kotel, a flat surface, a wall is the easiest thing to do, a flat surface. The Kotel is not flat. It's 3D, it's protruding. To learn how to, I eventually developed the technique to do the Kotel, to learn that technique and to do that one. That was literally, I started that one at 4 a.m. I went to shul, I came home, and I worked pretty much till 5.
Whoa. And I guess before we conclude with the final question, I'll just ask one more question, which is, your artwork really has taken off on Twitter and in Jewish publications, and it's been on people's walls. I'm curious, is this the style of artwork and the theme that you plan on doing, I guess, for the foreseeable future, or do you plan on trying to adjust and shift to something else in the world of art or somewhere else?
Well, there's two possibilities. Ultimately, I would love to stay in the firm world. That's why I'm pushing heavily. I'm working with someone on Instagram to try to promote this. If you go to a Jewish person's house, there are primarily two things on the wall. There will be Svarim, or there will be family photos. Yeah, that is something that firm people do not particularly invest in art. And when they do, it's always like, why'd you decide to get that art? It's like, it always starts pretty much, well, I was in Israel, you know, they buy it, you know, pretty much on a trip. But, you know, that's one of the hard parts about being an artist as opposed to being a musician. Jewish people cannot live without music. You can't have a simcha, you can't do anything without music. It's a lot, you know, we need music. You don't particularly need art. So to stay, the only real sustainable thing I can see myself doing is doing, like I've done a bunch of them already, is doing family portraits. That would really be, as I see, as a long lasting model, or to somehow do secular art. But I have no connections. Even the whole reason I started with Twitter, and particularly, you know, I just joined Twitter, mainly actually, ironically, I joined Twitter just to follow David Dbash, shout out to Dbash. And then I saw he had a lot of followers. So I knew him and I reached out to him. I don't know anyone on Instagram who could really get the ball rolling. You know, I don't really like Facebook particularly. So it's really about the connections. If I had a way, I've done secular art before, and there's obviously a lot more secular people on the planet, but without the connections, you know, you're not really going anywhere. So that's really where the future takes me. Either somehow get connected to the, in the secular world at large, or to really focus primarily on, family portraits, because everyone needs family portraits. You know, everyone needs family portraits, and there's so many of them, and there's an unlimited supply, and they're so personal. People are willing to commission, and they add, people have commissioned me 7-hour jobs. You know, it's significantly more money than my regular flat rate of like something I've already done.
It makes sense. Well, hopefully it goes well in the future. And before we conclude the interview, we always end with the same question, which is, you mentioned you've been tagged on Twitter by a lot of people, and you've been naturally asked questions over the years regarding your art at many different stages in the game. But even though you've always been asked many questions in the past, there's always questions that people have never been asked that they wish they were. So looking back, if you could tell us a question you've never been asked that you wished you were, and what answer you would give to it.
That is a tough question. Can I change it a little bit to an assumption I wish people?
Yeah, whatever you want.
The most people assume that the, like I said, that my strong suit is like the artistic talent. And I would, that's really not the case. Like I said, the secret behind my art is really just plain old hard work and dedication. There's a lot, like I said, I work 60 minutes in an hour, and I work a full 60 minutes an hour. I spent many years and many hours of my life focused and dedicated on this task. And I don't want to be known, like I said, I don't want to be known as talented. I'd prefer to be known, you know, as a hard worker. That to me is so much more chashuv and more important and more valuable to me than just, you know, having a natural talent for art.
Wow, very nice. And before we officially end the interview, is there anything else you want to mention, how people could contact you or purchase art?
Yes, you can always contact me on my Gmail, ilanblock@gmail.com. That is also my Twitter handle. Please follow, retweet, like, support. Those, it's very valuable just for the process. You know, it's not just a popularity contest. Everyone who comments and likes and reaches out to me, it's a very big motivating factor. I'm very grateful for it. And that would be @ilanblock. And I'm also trying to sort of increase my Instagram presence. And that would be @SElonBlock, the S before the ILAN. So it's two ILANs, BLOCKs, and one S, ILANBLOCK.
Okay, thank you for giving everyone a way to reach out to you. For those who don't follow you yet, I highly recommend all the listeners follow very impressive and inspirational sometimes art. Thank you for coming on again, and Hopefully everything goes well in the future.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jew Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that'll be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.